Man, I respect your dedication to comparing LCS teams to T1. I'm going to not touch that and let the internet do with it what it will. Welcome back to All Chat, Episode 9, the only League of Legends esports podcast that gives you highlights and best moments from all four major regions every week. This week, we're finally recapping all four regions again because all four regions played. It's also going to be a bit of a special episode where we're going to give a full rundown of the LCS playoffs. So if you're interested in just seeing that section, look down at the timestamps below. My name is Jack Dawes. I'm joined by Grayson Yada. Let's talk about some League of Legends.
Oh, yeah. I got the red on today. 100 Thieves, baby. I'm big
Let's
on them.
Go.
I'm big on them going into this LCS playoffs, man. They're so exciting to watch. And, you know, we have a lot of teams to talk about. Well, six teams, but there's a lot of parity in the league. So I think there's a lot of things that we're going to hit on today.
Yeah, what a big weekend for the boys in red, too. Oh, my God, some statement games that we're absolutely going to have to talk about. That it's been a wild weekend for the LCS.
Yeah, super fun weekend. I mean, we'll touch on the 100 Thieves game versus NRG in a little bit, but
yeah,
just bangers. Bangers only all weekend.
Right out the gate, though, I think jumping into it, the first thing I want to acknowledge is that we've been tweeting about it a little bit, but C9 did it. The boys in blue, 20-0 versus Dignitas. They hit it. They've done it. For those of you who haven't followed along with this whole Twitter escapade that we've been going on, C9 has not lost a game to Dignitas, I think, since 2017 is what we figured out. So they are now 20-0 against Dignitas in the last basically 7 years.
Yeah, that's the matchup right there, C9 versus Dig.
It's the rivalry.
the
rivalry you never knew that you needed or wanted and probably didn't, but it's interesting. I don't know. 20-0.
20-0 is that's a statement, you know?
Yeah, that's got to do something to the mental, too. That's a level of ownership that Immortals has over NRG, too.
Yeah.
Just the kryptonite.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was pretty cool. Not a terribly interesting game. We got a C9 dub, which we'll always take, but not really much else to say about it other than the 20 win.
Uh-huh.
But let's get into some of the more interesting games, because there was a lot.
Yeah, there were. Where do you want to start? I think staying on the C9 train, that C9 Shopify game was unreal.
What a banger. 52 minutes?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I was on the edge of my seat for like 30 minutes straight too. It was like the entire game was revolving around JoJo. It was such like a wild experience to watch that game and see just both teams purely playing around JoJo, because it was all of Cloud9 going, set this guy up to hit like a massive five-man Nico ult and we win the game, and all of SR going, we need to make sure JoJo doesn't hit a massive five-man ult and lose us the game. So it's just 30 minutes of like this super high intensity back and forth where both teams are trying to like set up JoJo or stop JoJo from doing his game plan. So what a banger of a game.
Yeah, and that game had some major playoff implications too, right?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure if Shopify won that, they had a chance
that would send
to
us
make
to
it.
Yeah, it would send
but
us to like a
loss
bunch of tiebreakers.
So I mean, you could tell that they were fighting in that one. You know, they really wanted it. I think Shopify was a really fun team to watch. Unfortunately, they didn't make it, but yeah, just an absolute banger of a game right there.
A quick rest in peace for SR and IMT. They're no longer with us.
IMT got eliminated on Friday, I think, too.
Yeah.
So they went into the rest of the weekend knowing that they were out, which is always tough to play games like that. But
yeah,
props to them. They still put up some fights in those Saturday and Sunday games.
They took a dub on Saturday, I think. They took down C9, actually. So C9 had a 2-1 weekend when people were more or less expecting a 3-0, I think, but they did take down C9 in the first game of Saturday. But they, you know, then lost to TL on Sunday. And who would have expected IMT to go last place? I mean, if you look at their history in the league, they haven't been anything but bottom two for the last six tournaments. So who could have expected that?
Oh, dude. Yeah. I mean, Shocker. Yeah. Absolute shocker.
real surprise on that one. I'm really curious what this is going to do to their team standing in the league, because it seems like nothing. It seems like this is going to have zero impact at all. But since they've rejoined the league, they've never done better than fifth place. They were fifth, sixth in one split. I think maybe twice they were like fifth, sixth. But they've never been higher than – they've never been in the top five, which – yeah. Maybe they got fifth once. But like, I'm really curious if being bottom two for six straight tournaments is going to do anything, or if the LCS is just like, whatever.
Yeah. I don't know. You got to feel for those guys, man, because I thought that they weren't playing too bad. Obviously, things didn't go their way. I think every team in the LCS, you know, could have challenged for a spot in playoffs, right? But they just, there seems to be some type of curse on those guys, man, where they just can't find their way out of the gutter. So,
yeah,
I don't know. We'll see where those guys are next split. I don't know if they're going to make any changes. I thought their team looked, you know, decent. You know, their pieces looked okay. But they just got outperformed by some of the other teams that might not have been projected to be where they are. So I thought Tactical played really well the whole split.
I thought so too.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking about Mask as, you know, one of the highest KP guys in the league earlier on in the season. I know Castle's gotten a lot of praise from other top laners in the league. So I feel like their pieces aren't bad. Just maybe things aren't coming together.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
There was a tweet from Dom, I Will Dominate, who said, it was something like, out of all the IMT bottom two splits, this was one of the best ones, which, complete meme, right? Like, out of all the times that they've gone last or second to last, this is one of the better ones. But it is like, there's some amount of truth to it where, like, this is one of the splits where it felt like they might not be bottom two. And it still happened. But it felt like there was a chance that they weren't going to be bottom two. So, I don't know. Maybe that's worth something. It's not really worth much if they can't capitalize on it, if they can't actually get out of bottom two. But maybe it's worth something. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, Shopify and IMT, rest in peace again. But I think we got to talk about that NRG 100 Thieves game. Just because of what it was.
What a mental breaker.
I mean, yeah. I think I got to shout out Golden Glue. He's got the best name for a coach in the league, by the way. No bias there.
Yeah.
But they were cooking, bro. They were cooking.
Just the blind Vhagar into Shaco lock. Like, and for people who haven't gone and seen that game, if there's a game to go watch from this weekend, there's actually a lot of bangers this weekend. Mm-hmm. NRG versus 100 was a banger. C9 versus SR was a banger, like we were just talking about. And then Fly versus NRG on day two was also a banger. But NRG versus 100 was one of the craziest LCS games I've ever seen, because that draft, Olaf, Shaco, Vhagar, Smolder, Alistar. That was like, we're going to play whatever we want and still absolutely dominate NRG. It was not close.
Yeah. I feel bad for NRG right now. They have not looked very good over the past couple weeks.
No.
They were able to squeeze into playoffs with the C9 win versus Shopify, but I don't know. I'm worried for those guys, because 100 Thieves was not taking that game seriously. They're just playing for that first place. And they kind of decimated them. You know, they got off to a rough start, but the team
Shaco
play.
Jungle, maybe not the best pick.
Yeah.
Vhagar looked pretty good, but the Shaco Jungle, maybe not.
Yeah, I mean, they were playing everything. Sniper looked insane that game. I don't know how many, you know, outplays he had. He had like a 1v3. He had multiple solo kills.
Did you hear he had 7 solo kills this weekend?
I did hear that, which is a little nutty. He really is the solo kill king right now.
His Olaf performance in that NRG game was nasty.
Yeah.
He had, I think, 3 solo kills in that game alone, and one of them was in like a 1v2, 1v3, like you're saying.
Yeah.
There's this moment in the top river where he's getting, you know, collapsed on by like 3 NRG guys, and he's like, okay, I like these odds. I win these. And he takes 2 with him.
Yeah.
It was wild.
Yeah. That was the play I was thinking about, the one in top river. I mean, I think it was a 1v2 to start.
Yeah.
But he's like, all right, I like these odds. He kills one of the guys. He's sitting at like 100 HP. And then it was someone else crazy. Comes up, takes another guy down. Like, I don't know. What an exciting rookie split from this kid, too.
Yeah. We're going to have to talk about him again later. But, like, the implications for Sniper in, like, the MVP conversation and, like, the All-Pro conversation is really interesting. And the Rookie of the Split conversation, too. So mm-hmm. we'll get into that later. But really an interesting split from him.
Yeah, for sure. Do you want to touch on the what was the third game that you're thinking of here?
Oh yeah, I wrote down on Saturday that I think I even tweeted it too. I said Fly versus NRG is going to be the banger of the weekend. I don't need to see any other games. Like, this is going to be it. Uh-huh. I have never been more humbled in my entire life. Just to go from like, oh, this Fly NRG game is going to be a banger. I barely remember it because of the games that happened on Sunday. Uh-huh. So that was a moment of me just absolutely putting my foot in my mouth. I still think it was an entertaining game. I still think it was good, but go watch NRG versus 100 Thieves or C9 versus Shopify. Like, those are the games you want to go watch more than the FlyQuest NRG game. We don't even have to go over it. Those other games were just way better.
I think that's just the caveat too of having so many like playoff implications in one weekend.
Yeah.
So every team's going to be giving it their all, and I think we got to see the result of that just based off this Super Week, which is one of the most entertaining weekends of League of Legends, I think, in LCS I've seen.
Real quick, just to go back to the C9 versus Shopify game, JoJo played out of his mind. I know I'd already said that, but this guy, like, he heard people talking about the Quid MVP race and the Inspired and River MVP race. And he said, this game was really just don't forget about me. Yeah. Don't forget I'm in there too. He was so insane in this game. He was like, if we're going to have an MVP conversation, you better put my name in there. And it was just an absolutely dominant performance from him. That was such a definition of a 1v9 performance in my mind, where mm-hmm. the entire game hinged on his ability to initiate team fights, because neither team had great initiation or team fight setup. So the entire game was just bounced on like a knife's edge of whether JoJo could make it happen or not. And he did it three times in one game. He hit these massive game-changing ults three times in one game and won them the game.
Yeah.
It was insane.
You got to think, if he doesn't hit one of those, you know, Shopify probably wins the game. You know,
they
just could not close it out because JoJo was like, guys, you have to go through me too, you know? Like, if you guys want to make playoffs, I'm the one guarding the gate, you know?
Yeah.
And he showed that.
Gatekeeper JoJo. It was...
Yeah.
What a crazy day of games.
Yeah, I know. Are there any other games that you want to hit on, or should we head into the playoff preview here?
I think that's about it. The one last thing I would say is credit to Dig, one, for looking pretty decent against FlyQuest, at least at points in the game, and then two, for dumpstering NRG in the tiebreaker too.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of that can be chalked up to the fact that NRG is looking terrible right now. I think they're on like a 4 or 5 game losing streak or something like that.
Yeah.
So they're looking just bad, but also Dig is looking like an actual, like, competent, solid team, and I think that they deserve to be fifth place over NRG with the way that both teams are playing.
Yeah,
I actually predicted going into that game that Dig was going to beat NRG, because I think NRG is playing not very well, and I thought Dig actually has some, like, pretty clear strengths.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. I completely agree there. I think Dig's one of the sleeper teams, actually. But we'll get into that in a little bit here.
Yeah. So just shout out to them. And then I say let's jump into a rundown of the playoffs.
Yeah, let's go. So for those of you that don't know, playoffs start on Thursday. We start off with C9 versus 100 Thieves. Next day is going to be FlyQuest versus Team Liquid. And then Saturday and Sunday, it's going to be the loser of the 100 Thieves C9 game versus NRG, and then the loser of the FlyQuest TL game versus Dig. But yeah, I think we should just go right through all these teams here and kind of give our thoughts on each team that made it.
Yeah, so the way we're going to do this, we're just going to go bottom to top, start with NRG, go up Dig, you know, all the way up through FlyQuest, and we're just going to give some thoughts on each team and some of the players, and then we'll talk about All-Pro at the end. So Let's talk about NRG.
Oh yeah, non-rational gamers bailed out by C9. Non-rational gamers,
yeah, really bailed out. It's so funny watching those tweets go up of like, "Oh, we qualified for playoffs." It's like, yeah, you better be thanking C9, man. You would not be here without them.
Yeah, I mean, oh, they've looked so rough. Their fall from grace from last summer is a little, or I guess since Worlds, is a little crazy because they kept pretty much the same roster. And I don't know. I think Huhi is a decent replacement for Ignar. I mean, Ignar's a solid support, but yeah. I don't think Huhi's that much far off. So seeing how they've been this split is a little baffling or mind-boggling.
Here's my take on this team. They went in last year. They had really low expectations. They ended up running through the playoff gauntlet and took C9. It was a 4-game finals. They 3-1 C9. They look really good. They went to Worlds. They were the best Western team at Worlds. They 2-0 G2. They were on top of the world. We thought that they were going to put up games against Eastern teams. Didn't happen, but it was hype. They were playing really well at Worlds. So they came in this split, and a lot of people just had them straight up in second place behind C9, because everyone was like, okay, the C9 roster is insane. NRG should be second behind them. Even though they just won, we think C9's going to win. Obviously, a lot of this stuff didn't happen, but much higher expectations coming into this split for NRG than before. And my take on this team is that they have the ability to contend for the title still, but they have players on the team who are underperforming so hard that they have to fix that before they're going to be a contender. What are your thoughts on NRG?
So I think the consensus last year was that a lot of these players overperformed going into playoffs and then going into Worlds as well. Obviously, like you said, the expectations were pretty much down in the dumpster. You know, no one was really expecting NRG to be the team to make it out from the Western side of league. And maybe these players had a little bit of regression going into the split, maybe a little bit of overconfidence, considering how strong a lot of these other players are proving to be. Like Dokla contracts, I think even Palafox hasn't looked like insane. I think FBI has actually been like the most consistent piece of this team somehow. And FBI was actually the guy that I wasn't very big on last year. But stats wise, he's actually in the top echelon among ADCs, and he plays a lot of Senna. That seems like a comfort pick for him. And I think with this meta, it's helping him a lot, but the rest of the team is maybe regressed a little bit and need to overperform again to have some success this playoffs.
So from an individual player standpoint, I think Dokla and Palafox are heavily underperforming where they should be. I think they're actually just having bad splits. I think both players are not playing well. Dokla has tried a number of different things this split. He's tried playing a lot of just like the normal meta champs. He's tried playing carry picks. He played Vayne top. He tried Zac top as well, I believe. So he tries these like different picks as well as these meta champs, and it just feels like no matter what he plays, he's not the reason that they're winning. Like when he picked the Vayne, he didn't like they won that game, but it wasn't Dokla winning the game on Vayne. It felt like if he had picked a different pick, they probably still would have won the game because he wasn't a main factor in them winning. And that kind of is how it feels like. It feels like he has games where he plays really bad and is part of the reason why they lose. And then he has other games where he doesn't play as bad and he plays pretty decent, but he's not really the reason they win in those games either. So I think Dokla is having a much worse split than he did last year. I think Palafox is in the same boat. Last year, he was like 1-2 with JoJo, especially towards the end. People were like, okay, Palafox is legit. He's a top 2 mid. People need to put some respect on his name. Like, this guy is insane. And then he played really well at Worlds, too. And this split, he has not shown that at all. He's had a lot of super lackluster performances, in my opinion. And I think if NRG is going to start winning games and playoffs, he has to really step up. And on the flip side of that, I think Contracts and FBI are actually playing pretty well. Contracts has not been super flashy. he had some really flashy plays at Worlds, especially on Jarvan. Yeah. He had some really good games where people were like, holy, like this guy might be the best Jarvan at Worlds period, which was insane.
Yeah.
He has not had that level of performance, but he's been solid. He's had multiple games where he's like flipped a Baron steal to win the game for NRG. He's had really clutch moments like that. He's had some games where he's just been really consistent and just been a playmaker for the team. So I think Contracts has had a pretty decent split. And I think FBI, like you mentioned, I thought he had a pretty decent split too, where he's also not popping off. He's not having like a super loud split where like there's a lot of attention on him. But if you look at the way he's been playing and you look at his stats, he's actually been playing pretty decently. And then it's cool to see who he'd be back with FBI. I think he's had a fine split. I would say Contracts and FBI have had the best splits on the team, and then who he is kind of in the middle, and Palafox and Dokla have had the worst splits. So in my opinion, if this team is going to do any damage in playoffs, it's going to be off the back of Dokla and Palafox really stepping up.
Yeah, I think emphasis on Palafox really stepping up, because he was a catalyst for the team last year for sure.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what they need. Maybe they need people to underrate them, you know? It worked for them last year, so
maybe the expectations are just too high.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But we'll see. They play the loser of 100 Thieves and C9. So I don't know. It's not looking great. Yeah.
That's agreed. Not a great matchup to see yourself into. It's just tough too when we're an 8-team league now and it's top 6 or playoffs. Like I think the only matchup where they would have had some amount of confidence going into it would be them versus Dig, but that's just never going to happen for the first round, right? So
yeah,
I think any team they get matched up to, maybe if they had been able to draw TL, they would have had some amount of confidence. But I think getting any of 100 Thieves, C9, or FlyQuest, you're not feeling good.
Yeah, yeah, completely agree there. Curious to see how they're going to do, but I don't think my expectations are very high just based on how they've been performing this split. Moving on to Dignitas, there is absolutely no I in team with these guys. I think that they're the most underrated team fighting team. They're very momentum based, and I don't think any of their players really stand out as like top players, but they have the pieces to do really well in playoffs and maybe turn some heads. What are your thoughts on Dig?
Yeah, no, I think you're totally right. XU had a really interesting interview after their last game against NRG, where he was saying that interviewer asked him point blank, like, are you guys a bot focused team? Because it seems like a lot of their wins come out of Tomo and Isles and them playing towards bot. And he said, it's a strategy that we've been using recently because we feel like it's working. But I also think that our solo laners, Rich and Dove, are really solid and will win in isolation, which I thought was an interesting take. I don't know if I agree with that, but I do think that Rich and Dove are solid solo laners. I don't think that they're at the bottom. I think they're somewhere in the middle. So I don't expect them to get like absolutely dominated in lane, but I also don't expect them to win their lane super hard. But yeah, this team really is like a better than the sum of its parts kind of team. And I think that's really how they're going to have to play through playoffs as well. I think Tomo and Isles are really underrated at this point. I was going back and looking at some of their games and looking at some of their stats, and they've actually been putting up pretty good performances. XU was saying that he needs to step up, and I think I agree with that. I think XU has had a little bit of a underwhelming performance, and he needs to step up for playoffs. And then Dig is also just a tough one because I don't have that much to say about their individual performers. It's or their individual players. It really feels like a team because there's like, what do you want me to say about Rich and Dove? They're fine.
Yeah.
They've had good moments. They've had bad moments. They don't stand out a lot to me. They beat the teams below them. They lose the teams. Like, I don't know. I would love to hear your thoughts because I'm not really sure what to say about their players.
Obviously, Rich and Dove aren't the flashiest. Tomo has had some pretty good pop-off moments throughout the split. Yeah. But I think Rich is one of the more underrated top laners in the LCS. Like you said, he's just solid. But the whole sum of their parts thing, Rich is a big reason for that because I think he finds some of them, like when he's on engaged top laners, like Anar, for example, Eric Gragas, he absolutely runs team fights. Like, I think it was in their game versus TL. I don't know if that was Friday or Saturday, but he played Gnar. And every single time there's a team fight, he would catch out Yawn. You know, he would catch out APA. And it'd be the reason why they win their team fight. Same with Isles. I think Isles is one of the most underrated supports in the LCS as well.
Yeah.
Dove, I think he's just solid. I probably had high expectations for him coming into LCS just because of the teams that he played for in the past. Yeah. I mean, he was on IG last year and he was on Live Sandbox the year before. He's super good mechanically. Like, his RE charms are probably some, like, I've seen some of the best RE charms in the league coming from Dove. He rarely gets picked off, and I think he excels when he's on like more mobile mid laners. But again, the biggest thing is the sum of their parts. I think XU, if he can step up, and if Tomo can really just focus on waiting till he can pop off, this team is going to turn some heads. But again, Grayson takes aren't always the best. So we'll see. We'll see how this turns out.
Hashtag but, stop Grayson takes. Yeah,
I think this team as a team is like probably one of the strongest. Like, you think of C9 as like their individual players are on a completely different level. Whereas Dig is almost the complete opposite end of the spectrum, where no one really has much to say about their individual players, but as a team, they're super strong. So
yeah,
it's kind of like a clash of ideals in that sense. And I don't know. I think that they have a chance to make some waves for sure.
It's definitely upset potential, but not high expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say more upset potential than NRG at this moment. Like, if I were to look at just how they've played this split and this last weekend, I would say Dig probably have more upset potential than NRG do, just because I think NRG looks pretty lifeless right now. Mm-hmm. But I don't have high expectations for either of the teams.
Yeah, speaking of not having such high expectations, Team Liquid. I wanted to say Liquid, but...
maybe not. Maybe don't say that.
Yeah, they.
Maybe we stick with Liquid.
Yeah, hyped to be, you know, one of the best teams in the league, right? Coming off their, their world's performance was okay. The return home of Impact. Yeah, return home of Impact. Picking up Umpty, who can speak English compared to Pjosic. I mean, the fact that he was like incentivized to come over to LCS because he could speak English, I think that speaks volumes too.
Yeah.
But probably just the most by the book. I don't even know how to describe them. You know, like, they're it's in the middle of the pack.
TL fourth, man. It's just always TL fourth.
Yeah.
they're just living their own meme. Like, I don't know. It's like they're not top three, but they're going to beat the teams below them. There's not like a lot to say about them either. We were talking about this before and we're like, what do we say about Yawn and Core JJ? They are a bot lane in the league. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, Yawn has some of his pop off moments. Core is just, you know, a solid support, but there's really nothing more to say about that.
Yeah. I would say that for me, Impact on Team Liquid has had a really, I don't know if it's like a quietly good split or if people have taken notice of it, but I think Impact's split has been pretty good. I think probably Impact, in my opinion, is the best performer on this team right now.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other players, it's like they have good games and they have bad games, and they're going to beat the teams below them and lose the teams above them. It's just like, it's so tough because I see the potential in this team as well, and they probably deserve to be in fourth. But I don't have like a lot of really interesting things to say about any of their players because they're not doing things that are like super out of the ordinary or like they're not giving me reasons to say I think this team is going to contend for first. I think that they'll be okay in playoffs. They might win one series or something like that. But that, like, there's nothing about this team that makes me go, okay, they have the X factor. They're going to contend for first.
Mm-hmm. And I think like, with Umpty coming in, he's definitely showing his adjustment period into LCS. I think he's one of the best macro junglers in the league. I think he's always on objectives. He's always, you know, covering his players' backs. But not the flashiest mechanically, and like you said, maybe not too much of an X factor there. Like, obviously, Pjosic, right? You know what you're getting out of Pjosic. You're getting a hard carry jungler who can win you games. Umpty is more like a fly under the radar, make good decisions, try to set up the team, very team focused. So I don't know. Same with like APA. He works well with Umpty, slowly expanding his champion pool away from Ziggs, but Ziggs is, you know, his comfort pick, his pocket pick. But yeah, like you said, everyone has their moments where they shine and has their moments where they don't shine and look a little rough. But I think where they're going to maybe have success is drafting well. They beat FlyQuest, I want to say. Yeah, I think it was FlyQuest with the double dragons. And they were getting outplayed that entire game until everyone got scaled up. And then from then on, it didn't feel like they had a chance to lose. So
yeah,
I think as long as they're given the right comps, they can execute. And hopefully that's going to be their way towards success in this playoffs.
So I will say on that I think that the way to success for this team is through Impact and APA. I think APA has shown that he can play some other champs other than Ziggs. And Ziggs and Aurelion Sol both seem like they're starting to come back into the meta, which I think is good for him because it means that these picks that he's known for might actually be worth playing. So I think that the TL has the possibility of being flexible in mid lane in a way that other teams can't be, which I think is a unique strength for them. I really liked the double dragon comp. I just thought just from like a viewer perspective, I thought it was really fun to watch. Just watching two dragons run around and kill people was awesome. To watch that game as well, the TL versus Fly game, that it was just fun to watch. And then the other player is Impact. And I think he actually is able to carry from the top lane. He's had some really good Udyr performances. He wins on Udyr and he loses on Cassante. So stop picking him Cassante and keep picking him Udyr. And maybe they just start winning games again. I don't know. But the majority of his split has been on those two champs. And I think he has 100% win rate on Udyr and a 0% win rate on Cassante. So I don't know. I think that Impact has the ability to absolutely go toe-to-toe with other top laners in lane, and that he actually has really good team fighting and like side lane decision making in a way that some of these other top laners don't. So for me, I'm looking at Impact, I'm looking at APA, and then I think the rest of the team needs to rally around these two guys, and maybe they start taking wins.
Yeah, for sure. I think I agree with you 100% there. Moving on to not much to say for those guys, honestly.
Yeah, but that's about it.
Yeah. Moving on to C9, who finished in third place. Probably not where anybody expected them to finish at the end of the spring split here.
No, and they should be thankful that they did, because they still look rocky. I think that in my mind, there's a pretty clear gap between FlyQuest, 100 Thieves, and C9. I think JoJo has been playing out of his mind, and we'll talk more about him later, as we keep saying. But the rest of the C9 team really needs to start coming together. Like, we need to see something that isn't the JoJo and kind of Blabber show. Like, Fudge, Berserker, and Vulcan really need to start showing us something.
Yeah, they played the Senna Ornn. Didn't get to see the thing at all.
Please don't. Please don't play it again.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, just, I don't know if it's a draft problem, if the players maybe have like an, maybe not ego, but like they want to play their individual picks a lot more, but they just seem discombobulated still. Like, they have their times where they look super good as a team. But then they have their moments where it's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, you're losing to IMT. You know?
Yeah. Yikes.
So
C9 has a roster that is potentially the most hyped roster that's ever been seen in the LCS. Like, the amount of hype coming into this year for the C9 roster was insane, because we've talked about it a bunch too.
Oh, we were going crazy seeing who they picked up.
Yeah, and it's an insane roster. It's really a cool roster to look at. But they went into the split. They started out really strong. Then they had a moment where they lost four games in a row, which is the first... I should have looked up exactly how long it was, but it's something like they haven't lost four games in a row in like 6 or 7 years, I think. So it was like this big thing where they haven't lost four games in a row since, I think it was 2018. It might have been 2017, something like that. But they had this big losing streak in the middle of the split. They looked like they had no identity. They looked super lost. They've scraped it back a little bit, and they were able to slide into third, I think, kind of because they started out so strong. But this team is like, JoJo plays insane every game, pretty much no matter what. You can pretty much count on him. I think this is what I've been saying all split. Apparently, it's not the data that C9 is getting, but I think you put Blaber on a carry jungler and you're going to win the game. He's had that Nidalee game where he looked really insane. It was Renekton Nidalee out of Fudge and Blaber. He just ran the early game, and then JoJo took care of the rest of the game. Even in this win against SR, he was playing Kindred. And I wouldn't say that he was like the primary reason they won, but he had really good Kindred ults saving JoJo, and he was definitely a factor. So to me, this team works off the back of JoJo and Blaber playing really insane. And I think that this team should play towards both of those guys winning the game for the team. And then we just need to see Berserker and Vulcan not be liabilities, mm-hmm. and Fudge like playing better in team fights. Because yeah. if you look at a lot of Fudge's stats, he actually has good stats. He's actually topping a lot of the charts for top laners in the league, but it's just because I think he's having decent laning phases and he's not playing that well overall throughout the game. Like, I wouldn't say from watching him this split that he's had a best top lane performance out of the league. We'll get into this again later, but I don't know if I'll have him in my top three for top laners or not. I think he's had a pretty lackluster split, and I think Berserker has had a terrible split.
Yeah.
So it's really like Blaber and JoJo need to play to their strengths. Berserker needs to step up and start being the Berserker that can solo carry games all by himself. And Vulcan needs to get back on engaged supports, stop playing Nami where he can't hit a bubble to save his life. And then this team will run playoffs. But they're just in a place right now where they look super lost.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is they've always kind of played around Berserker because last year when they had, MNS was solid, I think, for them in summer, but it was always, okay, we're going to play through Berserker, you know? And now that they have this stud mid laner, it's kind of like, well, what does Berserker do? I feel like maybe he feels a little lost just because of that. Maybe there's a little bit of a communication gap between him and Vulcan. Maybe they're not on the same page, but he's looked rough. Like, maybe not even top four ADC. Maybe not even top five ADC. Maybe not even, maybe I think bottom, he's bottom two, bro. Yeah. Yeah.
I think he's had his stats have been fine because he's like not died a whole lot and he's gotten a lot of CS. But you watch him in the games and he's just like, it's like he's not there. He's just like so irrelevant in so many of their games. He had the moment in the Shopify game where he like flashed in on Lucian. He like dashed and flashed in on Lucian and died and like almost solo lost the game when they were in the base. Which, to be fair, that's kind of rare too. He's not usually like solo running the game like that, or like, you know, inting the game. But he's just looked so like irrelevant in so many of their games. He's just like, you watch a team fight and he's like farming minions or something. It's like he just seems like he's not there.
Just not on the same page at all. Just a shell of himself too. So that's tough because he's one of my favorite players in the league, so I really want to see him succeed, right? But it's hard to root for him when he's performing like this and he's getting gapped by so many other ADCs and just being so irrelevant out there. So
it just makes me mad, honestly. I'm like, last year we were talking about how Berserker is the best player in the LCS. And this year, I'm just like, man, I just want to see you succeed. Like, I just want to see C9 dumpstering people. I just want to see Berserker play like Berserker. But it doesn't feel like he's playing like that at all. So it's kind of just frustrating, honestly.
I think if they want to succeed in this playoffs, it is going to, like you said, it's going to have to be out of Blaber and JoJo just because of how Berserker's been playing. But if they can get Berserker and Vulcan online, that could be a whole new playoff right there. So I think it's hard to count them out at any time. And they do have experience playing in these best of fives, playing in a playoff atmosphere. So definitely right for them to be top three.
And out of all the teams we've talked about so far, definitely the biggest threat to go on and win the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But that being said, I'm going to let you run on 100 Thieves, your boys.
Oh, these guys are so fun to watch, bro. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. River Quid, their synergy, bro. Oh, my gosh. Just on a completely different level. River, he's going to get some MVP votes. Quid, he's going to get some MVP votes. Sniper, he's what, 17 years old? Like, what was I doing at 17? I was twiddling my thumbs, you know, sitting in a high school class. This kid has looked unreal, like you said earlier. 7 solo kills on the weekend. I think, you know, Meech and Ayla also just, you know, they're playing well. I don't have anything bad to say about them. Ayla's definitely, I was really not on the Ayla train last year when he was on, was it EG and then Fly. I was like, dude, this guy sucks. Get him out of the league. But now I'm like, oh, like, this guy's actually like, he's pretty good. You know, I think he works really well with Meech. I think they both have this like prove it. I think the whole team has this kind of prove it mentality. And I think as a team, they're one of the most fun teams because their chemistry is so high. Like the vibes are insanely high over at 100 Thieves.
The vibes are insane.
Every
time that you see player cams coming from 100 Thieves, it looks like they're having the most fun in the entire world. It's just like Sniper constantly just egoing on everyone, doing like the Mew thing, like on stage, like touching the jawline, or like, you know, doing his dance after he gets a solo kill. And then Quid is just like laughing and just like watching Sniper be a complete dumbass on stage. It's such good vibes every team, which is so entertaining to watch.
I love watching their player comm videos that they come out with. Every time Sniper gets a solo kill, you hear River go, "Sniper."
Stop fighting.
Look at this, clear this a bit.
Wow, Sniper.
Sniper!
Shit on, kid.
It's just like the whole team just burst out laughing. Like, the vibes are high. I think Sniper got fined, or like, Sniper got the team fined on Saturday for wearing open-toed shoes.
$5,000.
And then the next day, they all come out wearing Crocs, like matching Crocs. Like, that's how you know that the team vibes are high and that like the morale is there. And I think because they're succeeding and they're doing so well, like, they have a real shot at, you know, winning the split.
Yeah.
Because I think having that chemistry is so important for any team, you know, in any type of sport that you're playing. I mean, look at C9, right? You can have the pieces to be the best team, but if the vibes aren't high, if morale is down, you're not succeeding, it's tough sometimes. And I think 100 Thieves coming in with low expectations, doing so well, pulling out some really fun, crazy wins, like their game against C9 earlier in the split, like that was probably a huge prove it moment for them, and just like a something that really boosted the team overall. And I think they're just playing with so much confidence as well.
Yeah, I mean, 100 Thieves came into the split and a lot of people had them literally dead last. They were like, okay, this roster is the worst roster in the league. And now they're, I mean, tied for first. FlyQuest took it because of the head-to-head, but they're tied for first, or, you know, in terms
they have the same
of
record.
The games that they've won. They have the same record. Thank you.
Yeah.
They were expected to be last. Now they have the same record as the first place team. Sniper, like we've talked about, absolutely in contention for rookie of the split. Super fun to watch. Solo kills left and right. They're doing that whole bit on the broadcast about like Sniper's hit list or whatever, like the top laners he's been able to solo kill. So he's looked really good. I think he's one of the best top laners in the league right now, which is super cool. River is just like always playing out of his mind, but like on this roster specifically, just like an insane enabler for the team.
Oh yeah.
Like
big time.
River is nasty. We've talked about Quid. I think it's him and JoJo still for best two mid laners in the league.
It's a 1A, 1B, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's so hard to know which one is better. But, you know, Quid is, last year, people were like, this is the guy that needs to get off of 100 Thieves. Let's keep some other pieces. They ditched the entire team except for Quid, rebuilt around him. And now he's having this insane split where, like, every game people are like, let's watch Quid dumpster everyone. So really fun to watch him as well. And then Meech and Ayla are, like, playing well, but they're not the stars of the team. So it's, mm-hmm. it's a little more difficult to say exactly how good they are because I think this is such a topside focused team. This is a Sniper, River, Quid team. And Meech and Ayla, their job mostly is to not lose the game for the team and to do their job when they need to. And mm-hmm. I think they're doing that to their credit. Yeah. So I don't think that they need to be these pop-off stars carrying the game. They just need to let Sniper, River, and Quid win the game, basically.
Yeah, 100%. I think Meech and Ayla, honestly, like they're above average as a bot lane duo within the league. And I think Agreed. They do exactly what they need to do every game. And it really enables yep. their top side to really shine. I think yeah. Meech has had some like moments where he saves games for the team too. So it really isn't like they're just there to survive. They have their moments too.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's so awesome about this 100 Thieves team, right? It's like everyone was underrated. Everyone was like kind of slept on, except for maybe like Sniper, right?
Yeah.
But just such a fun team. And I think what they can do in playoffs is going to surprise some people because every other team, every other player, they're like, oh, they're so overrated. You know, they suck at scrims. Like, they're going to get gapped. Like JoJo was saying, oh, if we get 100 Thieves first round of playoffs, I'm cheering. Like, I'm like taking that as a dub already. Right. Yeah. So,
and then 100 Thieves just keeps winning.
I know. So it's like, how are these pros saying that? Like, I don't know. Yeah. From a viewer standpoint, it's like, I don't know how you could possibly doubt these guys. Right. But yeah. who knows? They might know something that we don't, but Probably. Whatever's happening on stage is proving them wrong. So yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, just real quick on Meech and Ayla, too. I might have been a little bit too harsh on them because Meech has had some pretty insane pop-off plays. I remember his Kai'Sa game that he had recently. He was, you know, kind of styling on people with that. I just think that they're not popping off a lot and they're not, like, styling on people as much as maybe they could be just mm-hmm. because the game isn't really about them most of the yeah. time. It's usually about this top side. So I just think that they like don't need to have these insane performances. So they're kind of yeah. looking like a middle of the pack bot lane. I think there's definitely a possibility they could be better than that, but it just like the rest of the team is not playing for Meech and Ayla, you know, that's all mm-hmm. it is. I think,
I think the best comp would be like T1, right? Like you think of their top side as pretty sick, but like Guma Yuusi, this split hasn't been like this pop off ADC that he normally is. It's because he doesn't have to be. But when they do pop off, it's like, okay, well, that's nice. And they just win the game. So yeah. I know that's not like a really fair comparison, but that's like probably the closest parallel that I have team-wise. And so...
Man, I respect your dedication to comparing LCS teams to T1. I'm going to not touch that and let the internet do with it what it will. I'm going to stay out of that, but I respect your dedication. This is like the second or third time you've done that. I'm going to let you do that. I'm going to stay out of it.
Might be seeing hashtag stop Grayson takes on that one, but hopefully I'm not jinxing them, right? Because
hopefully not.
Those are my boys. And, you know, they're both a red team, so...
So, you know, there's the main
There's
one.
That comparison where you can't deny.
I will co-sign that comparison. They are both red. I can stand behind
they're
that.
Both red teams, and they both have a Korean mid laner.
Yeah.
And a Korean jungler.
I am done talking after that. That's it. You can get Korean mid laner and red. That's all you get from me. I'm gonna save myself from the internet on the rest of that one. Let's talk about FlyQuest. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's move on to FlyQuest really quick. First place. Yeah.
FlyQuest. Let's move on fast.
Comeback Kings, new blood, man.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the thing about FlyQuest. This is their first time ever being in first place at the end of a split. I didn't realize that. I thought that they had that before because there was that period of time a few years ago. I think it was when Santorin was the jungler for this team where they were in grand finals for like three splits in a row or something. And I was pretty sure that during that time period they had finished first at some point, but I guess not. So it's the first time that FlyQuest has ever been ending the split first place. So first of all, that's super cool. When we say that they're the comeback kings, what I mean by that is both Bwipo and Inspired had been out of the league for a like pretty long time, and they were coming back. People weren't sure how they were going to do, and they're arguably top one in both of their roles.
Yeah.
They're smurfing on the league. Bwipo is insane. He's so flexible. He's so good with his macro. He's so good at counter matchups. Bwipo is the guy to beat in the top lane right now. I know Sniper is having an insane split. Personally, I still give the edge to Bwipo. I think Bwipo is the best top laner in the league. And then there's Inspired, who some people are saying is having another MVP level performance, which if that happens, that would mean in the last three splits that he's played, he's been MVP for all three, which is insane. I think that's three MVPs in a row. I'm pretty sure. I might be getting that slightly wrong, but that's insane. He's been a huge facilitator for this team. He's been making everything happen on the map. Super consistent, will win you the game. So those guys are both like the comeback kings, I would say. They came back from being out of the league for a while, and they're smurfing. Then you have Jensen, who's allowed to shine super underrated. He's had insane. I looked back. We talked about this like 10-0-6 Ori game he played. It was 10-0-12. He's just dropping numbers randomly. You just like look at him and you're like, oh, my mid laner is legendary and completely untouched this entire game. And if everyone else dies, he's going to solo win us the game. And I didn't even notice. Jensen is having a monster split. It's so nice to see him off of that dig roster where it felt like he was trying to like really pick that team up and throw him across the finish line. And now he's on a team where he can really shine. He's still like super underrated, like you're saying, but he's having a really good split. And then Masu and Busio, this like new blood, technically Busio isn't a rookie, but he, for like all intents and purposes, he more or less is. I think Masu is having a really good split. I think Busio is having a really good split. It's really fun to watch Busio too. He used to be a mid laner before he role swapped to support, and that shows. He picks mid laners as support sometimes. He like, I think he debuted with support Azir last year. So like he does this stuff where he just like will pick whatever and then show his mechanical skill on these champs. So that's been really fun to watch. And then Masu, number one prospect out of the NACL from this last year. Busio was the number one prospect from the year before. They're in a bot lane together. They're killing it. So it's just a really fun team to watch with like, they look really pretty dominant.
Yeah. I think they just look super solid as a team. Like that's probably the best way I can put it. I think none of their pieces are bad. They probably have a top four player in every single role, maybe even top three. And like you said, Inspired and Bwipo are really like the engine of this team. And then Jensen's kind of like the flyer under the radar. But Inspired has looked insane. Just his macro play is unreal. Mechanically, he looks really good. His team fighting is just on another level. I think, you know, if you're going to beat FlyQuest, you have to take out Bwipo and Inspired, you know?
Yeah.
So
the thing that I value so highly about Inspired too is that he is one of the players in the league that can and will play like any type of jungler, because you can throw him on Sejuani and he'll be impactful and he'll set up fights, he'll have good ults, he'll make things happen around the map, he'll be a tank, he'll frontline, and he can do that with high proficiency. But then, you know, he has the famous Viego pentakill as a jungler back from when he was playing in the LEC. So like, this guy can get a pentakill as a jungler, which never happens, but he can also just play a tank and still steamroll the game. So I think the thing that's super valuable about Inspired is that he can play any style of jungle pick to a super high level. This guy is looking like, I saw some people saying that like they've been saying he's the best Western jungler of all time. Like, he hasn't played like that many splits, so maybe that's a hard thing to argue, but if he keeps playing, I think he will be. Like, every time he plays in any league, he's insane.
Yeah, he looks nuts. I think
he's inspirational.
I found myself pretty inspired watching this guy. So
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Speaking of how important players are to their teams, do we want to touch on MVP really quick? Because I think Inspired's right in that conversation. I think Quid is probably in that conversation, maybe River as well. One of those two, and then Jojo Pune is probably another, you know, I think it's going to come down to one of those four, if anything.
So you actually picked the exact four players that I've been thinking about too. I think some people have been throwing Sniper's name in the mix as like a fifth option, but first of all, it's tough when you have multiple MVP candidates on one team.
Yeah.
Because technically it's supposed to be like, my take on MVP is that it's most valuable player, not best player, but most valuable to the team. And when you have three contenders, Sniper, River, and Quid, all as MVP candidates on one team, it's like, if they're all MVP level, then are any of them really MVP level? But that aside, I think Sniper is not MVP.
Like, I don't think so either.
He's had a really good performance. He's had an insane rookie split, but he is not like the most valuable player on 100 Thieves. He's fun to watch. He's holding his own. He's playing really well, but he's not like, if we were going to say what are our top five MVP picks, maybe he's fifth, but I don't think that he's going to win MVP, and I don't think he's going to get that many votes either.
Agreed. Yeah.
I think you're right. It's the two mid laners and the two junglers.
Yeah, I think for sure Quid and River, as far as like how valuable they are to their teams. I mean, you take out any one of those two pieces and 100 Thieves is probably at the bottom. Okay, maybe not, but they're not having as impactful Yeah, exactly. And it's so hard to pick where you want to have these guys. So that's why I lean almost towards Inspired, right? Because of what he's been able to do with this FlyQuest team. You might be leaning more towards JoJo then.
What? But you're so on it. That's crazy. You picked exactly the four MVPs I was thinking of, and you just nailed exactly, because I was going to try and argue with you the Quid versus JoJo MVP argument, but I'm really interested in your Inspired take, because I thought you were going to have a Quid take. So tell me about why Inspired deserves MVP.
Because, okay, you got to think Inspired, he came in, like you said, comeback king. FlyQuest, I don't think they even had these types of expectations before the season started, right?
Definitely not like first by a mile.
Yeah. And Inspired has been probably the biggest part of that. I think Bwipo has been really good for them. I think Jensen's been really good for them. But if you take Inspired away from this team and you replace them with pretty much any other jungler, they're just not where they are right now. They're probably sitting at fourth or fifth, even if you replaced them with like a River. Because obviously the circumstances are different, but I think the way that Inspired is slotted into this team, being kind of like a bridge, like he can work really well with Bwipo and Jensen, the more vet guys, but he's also playing really well helping Masu and Busio and enabling those two. I think that's such a huge part as a jungler, being able to enable all of your lanes, right?
Yeah.
And I think without that, this team is nowhere near the top.
Yeah. And so I got to be honest, I was not on the Inspired MVP train at all for a while. I'm starting to get won over to it. I've seen some tweets about Inspired and people saying that he should be MVP. I actually really like your argument about why he should be MVP. I still don't know if I would say he would be my vote, but I think like I get where you're coming from. I think Inspired has been... like, it's huge that he can play around Bwipo and Jensen, and they have, like, this trio of veterans that can run the game. But then he also, like, I think he makes Masu and Busio look even better than they are. Like, not to say that Masu and Busio are bad, but he just, like, makes them look even better, I think.
I think that's probably the biggest argument for him being MVP as well. You know, as a jungler, it's really important that you get all your lanes going and enable those guys. And I think for Masu and Busio, they definitely...
Masu and Busio,
I think, are... they're solid players individually in their own right. They're good as a bot lane duo, but Inspired really has allowed them to succeed and put them in really good positions every game to kind of pop off. So,
yeah.
And I think he does that with every lane.
Well, let me counter with my JoJo argument.
Yeah.
Because I think before I probably would have said Quid or River, just because I think that they've been playing both really insane. But now I'm on this JoJo hype train, and I know it's recency bias. I know Cloud9 just played Shopify, but it's like so hard for me to ignore that JoJo is the only mid laner in the league who could be put in that position and make it happen. Mm-hmm. I really believe that. I think there is no, like, I don't think Quid or Jansen is doing what JoJo did in that game. I like, because here's the other part of that too, is that they don't need to be. I think personally, I actually think that C9 as a whole, like they're like Fudge, Berserker, and Vulcan especially, I think are playing pretty bad. Yeah. All things considered, I think the reason that Cloud9 is third at all is because of JoJo and Blabber, and it's like 90% JoJo. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think if you went to 100 Thieves or FlyQuest, if you took out Inspired or River or Quid, I don't think that they plummet to last or anything. But I think if you switch out JoJo, like Cloud, there's a chance Cloud9 doesn't even make playoffs, because like, the way that JoJo is able to make the entire game about him and always play well, no matter if it's a win or a loss, and like be the conduit for winning the game for Cloud9, especially when Berserker looks like he's not even in the game. Like almost every game looks like a 4v5, you know?
Yeah.
Like when the other players on his team are looking so out of it and like disjointed, and he is able to consistently play as like the best or second best mid in the league, I think to me that makes him the most valuable player, because to Cloud9 he's completely irreplaceable.
Yeah, I completely understand your argument coming from that, and I mean,
yeah,
I'm a huge Angels fan, and so like Shohei Ohtani, right, he's won MVP, you know, the last two out of the last 3 years, but the Angels didn't even make the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
So it's really the who's the most valuable player to their team, right? And yep. I think if there was a statistic like wins above replacement, which I'm not sure if you know what that is, but it's basically it's basically like a metric that tells you how many wins a player is worth on their team. Berserk would probably be worth negative wins this split, but JoJo Pune,
yeah,
on the other hand, is probably worth like 3 or 4 wins for C9. And I think Inspired's number would probably be a little lower just because he does have better pieces around him. So I totally understand. For me, it was hard to even choose between Inspired and JoJo. I think I agree with you that like River and Quid, if there was a most valuable duo in the league, they would for sure have that, right? But it comes down to most valuable player. Who's the one person that's really, really the engine, the motor, the central focal point of their teams? And I think it does come down to Inspired and JoJo, and
yeah,
it's hard to pick one or the other, but I think that's who we're going to see as one of the MVPs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the other thing that devalues River and Quid to me, going back to what we were saying before, is that if you have two MVP candidates on a team, are either of them MVP candidates? Because it means that you have two players who are both potentially the most valuable player on a team, which kind of like that is kind of like what's the word for it? A paradox, maybe.
Uh-huh.
Not exactly a paradox, but it's like, if you have two players, this happened on Cloud9 too last year. This is like the same argument that people were having last year. If you have multiple MVP level candidates, then they're probably not the most valuable player in the league, because there's another team where they have one player that's like putting them where they are.
Yeah.
So that's why I value Inspired and JoJo over River and Quid at this point, mm-hmm. is because they individually seem like the most valuable player to their team in their success.
Yeah. It's that age old question of MVP. Like, is it the best player on the best team, or is it the most impactful player on any team? Right.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's going to be a really interesting MVP race. Same with the All-Pro. I don't know if we want to get into the All-Pro.
So let me just, I'll just give a quick rundown of what I have.
Yeah.
This is the quick spiel before I give them. The top teams in the league are all playing around their top side of the map, which I think actually makes the top side of the map easier to pick All-Pro for, mm-hmm. because it when the top teams are playing around those players, it's a lot easier to compare them, mm-hmm. but they're not playing around their bot lanes, which I think makes bot lane really difficult to look at for All-Pro. So this is just my personal list that I'm still figuring out, but this is where it's at right now. For top, I have Bwipo first, Sniper second, and then either Impact or Fudge for third. I've been a little bit shit-talking Fudge, but I actually think that he has had a decent performance. I do think I'll give it to Impact, though. So I think I'll go Whippersniper, Impact with Fudge probably fourth. In the jungle, I have Inspired first, River second. I think that's pretty locked for me. Mm-hmm. And then third, I have either Blabber or Contracts. I actually value Contracts pretty highly this split. I think he's been a big reason why NRG is performing at the level they have. Uh-huh. And then when Blabber is given the picks that I think he should have, I think he's playing absolutely insane as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm a little undecided on what that will be. I think I might give it to Blabber as third.
Uh-huh.
And then in mid lane, I have JoJo, Quid, Jensen. That's like super locked for me. I think absolutely those are the top three. And in my opinion, that's the order. And then for ADC and support is where it gets really hard.
Yeah.
This is going to surprise a lot of people, I think. But my ADC list is B-Voy first. Then FBI, and then either Tomo or Tactical.
Uh-huh.
I just think that like Meech and Masu, they've played well, but they haven't like needed to smurf for their team in the way that like B-Voy, Tomo, and Tactical have, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I really don't know who to give it to for third between Tomo and Tactical. I honestly might give the edge to Tactical just because it seems like B-Voy and Tactical are the reason their teams have like any wins. And then FBI has just been playing pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
And then for support, I have Busio first, and then I have Ole, Isles, and Ayla all below him. And I'm really, those are like super hard for me. I think Isles deserves to be there somewhere in the top three. I think Ayla deserves to be there somewhere in the top three. Ole, I'm like a little on the fence about. I think he could go as high as second, but he could go as low as fourth too. It's really hard for me to judge like what his actual value is to the team.
Yeah.
So I think I might lock in Busio, Isles, Ayla, but it's like the bot lane is like so hard for me to decide because the bottom teams are playing around their bot lanes. So their bot lanes look good, even though they're losing.
Mm-hmm.
The top teams are playing around the top side of the map. And so it's way easier to decide what their ranking should be. What do you have for?
So I only did two for each role. I have Quippo Sniper top.
Yep.
Inspired River Jungle. JoJo Quid.
Yep.
And then I have Tomo B-Voy ADC. And then I have Busio and Isles. So more or less the same, just different orders, a few different guys here and there. But
yeah,
like you said, the bottom lane's pretty hard to predict.
Yeah, I think the top half of the map, I think top jungle mid is like pretty locked, especially the top two positions in each of those lanes. I think that's like pretty locked. And then mid, I think it's just completely locked. I think it's JoJo, Quid, Jensen.
Yeah.
But I think bot lane is like super up in the air. And my guess is a lot of these guys on bottom teams are going to get robbed because they were on bottom teams.
Yeah.
But I think if you actually look at how these guys have performed, if Berserker gets an all pro nod, I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Like, if they're like, oh, it's Berserker, let's put him top three. No, he's played bad. I love Berserker, but he's not had a good split.
Yeah.
Give it to someone who deserves it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, you're good. You're good. I think we might even see some people throw, like, Yawn in there.
Yeah.
It's just so up in the air. But for me, it super really is Tomo and B-Voy. I feel like those guys... I think Tactical is another one that you can throw in there. So it's so hard to rank the ADCs, but Tomo's looked really good in my book. So I got him there.
Yeah, I can see that.
And then Isles is just the most underrated. So that's why I have him second.
100%. We did it.
We did it.
We made it through LCS.
That was
only
our
took
playoff preview.
Forever.
Very quickly, I guess. Do you want to touch on the other regions?
Yeah, let's see if we can speed run this last part of it.
Okay.
Where do you want to start? You want to jump into LPL LCK?
Yeah, I can do that really quick. So LCK, is Gen G the best team in the world, bro? Because they decimated Hanwha Life and T1.
Could be.
It wasn't even close. T1 played them this weekend. It was the Saturday showdown. Everyone was hyped up to watch it. First game, they put up a goose egg against Gen G. Gen G completely shut them out, 13-0 on kills. And it was almost a perfect game, but I think T1 got two towers.
Okay.
Crazy. Because that is not what
Insane.
You expect, right?
No.
Canyon and Chovy mid-jungle just looks silly. We've known that Canyon has some of the best mechanics in all of League, but some of the plays that he was making this past weekend were I was like, I couldn't even do that in my wildest dreams, you know?
Just
I don't
a
know.
Different level.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not going to say that they're like my favorites to just like go on a golden road type run here, but the series against T1 is definite proof that they're on a different level.
Yeah.
And that they own T1 pretty heavily. Yeah. And then DRX wants that last playoff spot. I think it's going to actually come down to DRX and Kwandong.
Wow.
DRX called up a new mid laner. His name is Kiahu. Kiahu?
Oh.
No, wait. Yeah, Kiahu. And he actually looked pretty good. They 2-0'd Kwandong, actually, the other day. And it was... I felt bad for Kwandong because Bull, I think... He's not getting enabled at all. I think he's best when he's playing like hyper carry, aggressive ADCs, and he's put on Seraphine twice. So,
Just put Bull on Kalista every single game?
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like... Just give him Kalista or Nada, you know, and they'll be fine. But yeah, that's all I got from the LCK. We did see Deft get a pentakill, his very first one in the LCK, 11 years in the making. And then Showmaker actually also had a pentakill on Karma.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
On Karma? So, I didn't even see that.
Yeah, it was just like a straight base pentakill at the end of their game against Live Sandbox. And, you know, that was entertaining. But I think the top five solidified. Those five teams have all qualified for playoffs, and it's going to come down to probably DRX and Kwandong Freaks for that last spot. I think DRX looks a lot better with Kit Kehu in the mid lane now, and I saw a video of like their comms, and he's like shot calling for the team in his first match.
Oh wow.
And they have guys like Teddy and Rascal on the team, so the fact that he's feeling comfortable doing that, I think that speaks volumes.
DRX Miracle Run part two,
you never know, probably not, but they I think they're like three or four games behind Kwandong Freak still, so I think KDF has that locked up. But
yeah,
and then in the LPL, Milky Way is still showing out, bro. This guy's crazy. They lost
JDG, dude. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. And the thing is, what's amazing is that the bot lane isn't looking like bots anymore, dude. Like Life, he played sick in game one. Like he was actually the reason why they won that first game, I think.
And, wow.
I don't know. FPX is starting to look like a more complete team, which is scary for the rest of the league because we thought, they're just going to start perma-targeting Milky Way. But if everyone else starts showing out, then what are you going to do against FPX? And then LNG.
Real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear that this was Duckdom's first ever series win against Ruler?
Yeah. And that's I think that was probably not the team that you would expect for him, or at least on his end. He was on D+ for Damwon at the time, and they had a good roster put together. Couldn't beat Genji. And of course, it's FPX against JDG where he's beating him, which is, you know, good for Duckdom.
Good for Duckdom. But yeah, obviously. Yeah, of course you would go to FPX and be on a, you know, bottom LPL team, and then all of a sudden get an insane rookie jungler, and then 2-0 Ruler, who's on one of the best teams in the world, just because, like,
of course. Makes sense. I had that on my bingo card. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I think that was on most people's 2024 bingo card. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But yeah, good on Duckdom. He had a really good Zeri game also in that first game. And I think FPX is just, I think they're going to really turn some heads moving forward here if they haven't already.
Cool.
LNG lost to LGD, makes their playoff push that much more difficult. And it resulted in a benching. They benched their coach.
Oh.
So.
Oh.
We'll see. We'll see if that's the difference maker. But the final playoff spot in the LPL, or final playoff spots, I guess, going to come down to Weibo, OMG, LNG, AL, and maybe you can throw TT in there. There's a few more weeks of LPL, so we'll have more updates for you guys in the upcoming weeks.
All right, LEC.
LEC.
Let's do it. First week of the second split of LEC. They came back after their short break after playoffs. G2, 3-0.
Yeah.
Done and dusted. Caps is the best Western mid. He's just dumpstering everyone. Unfortunately, Caps is they played against Carmine Corp on the third today. Day this weekend. Yeah. Today. Yeah. Today.
Yeah.
Yeah. This morning. Today. There you go. This morning. Yeah. They played them. KC has been having a pretty decent weekend, and they were actually they were dumpstering G2 in the early game, and then it's just a cap stiff. He just came in and Nico ulted his way into a win for G2. So G2 right now for me is the Yike and Cap show. Both of them are just smurfing out of their goddamn minds. It's insane. Like, BB doesn't need to do anything. Han Sama has played fine. He has a pentakill. He played Kog'Maw, which was fun to watch.
Yep.
Mickey X has had actually some really fun plays. He had some really good Milio plays when he was playing that pick. But it's just the Yike and Cap show. They're just they're smurfing. It's impossible to beat this team.
Yeah.
G2 at the top. Fnatic was supposed to go 3-0 as well. They actually lost to Team Heretics of all teams, who
I think they're actually not bad this split, dude. I think the changes that they made, Trimby looks gross, bro. He actually looks really good. In their game today versus Fnatic, he had some crazy hooks on his Nautilus that really set up the team.
I was not convinced at all by Trimby in his first game against Vitality. I actually think I want to talk about Vitality too a little bit. I think they look really good. Uh-huh. But I think in the second two games, Trimby has looked really good.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, I hate saying this because I like Perks, but I think Perks was an active liability to this team for a long part of last split. Mm-hmm. And Zwairu, he's not even playing insane. He's just there. He's there and not solo losing the game for the team.
Yeah. And Jankos. So Jankos is back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's Jankos and Flacked kind of smurfing, mm-hmm. With Trimby having some really good games too. Zwairu is just not losing the game for them. He's just being there, which is all he needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wonder in the top lane.
He's Wonder.
He's just being. He's Wonder. He's stable, right?
Yeah, it's like exactly.
In their last game against, I think it was against KC, not against KC, against Fnatic.
His Aatrox.
His Aatrox game. He gets dived three times to start out the game, is 0-3 on Aatrox, and then I don't think he died again for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
So it's like he takes the punishment and then he just stabilizes. So it's like he's not carrying the game for the team, but he's like super stable and does his job. So I'm with you. Team Heretics looks better. G2 3-0. Fnatic 2-1, but I think that they're going to be a top team this split. They've looked really clean in their wins.
Matt Coy,
I think they're 1-2.
Yeah. They lost to G2 and they lost to Day versus who was it? GX.
Giant X. Wow. Yeah. Not a great game. Really good game from Jackies on Giant X. His Yone was smurfing it. So really good game from him. I think this was kind of a fluke loss. I think MDK will get it back, and I don't think Giant X is good. So I don't think that this will be like a trend. I mean, Giant X is 1-2 as well.
Uh-huh.
So I think they're going to be at the bottom. SK. Niski is looking really insane.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the team, I mean, Irrelevant has had really good games too. Exekick has had really good games as well. I
think Karzy's kind of been like the weak point on that team. Is it Karzy?
He's on Vitality. So.
Oh, that's so awkward. whoever their bot leader is that Exekick?
See, I think Exekick actually had some really good games.
Well, who did they play Saturday? There's a game on Zeri where he just like ran it the whole game.
Oh, let's see.
I think it was against Fnatic.
Oh, that was probably their Saturday game. It was against Team Heretics. It was against Team Heretics.
Okay.
And he was playing Smolder.
There's a game where he was on. Maybe I'm mixing up SK with like.
Maybe you're thinking of someone else.
I swear, there's a Zeri game that.
Oh God!
SK played.
No, I'm leading you astray. I was looking at Vitality because I was talking about Vitality. SK played Mad. You're right. No, he played Zeri against Mad. Yeah,
and just like ran it. Like I felt like he got picked off every 3 minutes in that game.
Okay. Yeah. You're so right. Wow, okay. That was a train wreck. Yeah. Never listen to us
hey,
ever
you're
again.
Supposed to be the Jesus. LEC guy. What's up?
I know. Oh, no, it's a crime.
No. Just give you a hard time, but yeah.
I thought that he did have some good games this weekend. Yeah. I agree the Zary game was bad. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. but yeah, aside from, I think Vitality, BDS, they look solid too. BDS, yep. I think, beat Vitality today, or maybe it's SK.
I'm looking. SK played Vitality today. SK won that one, but mm-hmm. Vitality won their other two games this weekend. And I think importantly for Vitality, before it was the VTO show pretty much, and now Karzy is looking really solid. I mean, it was the VTO and Karzy show before.
Uh-huh.
They're both looking good still. Hillisang has stepped up in a big way.
Yeah, he had that zero death
looked really
game.
Good. Yeah, which yeah. crazy for Hillisang. Uh-huh. Then he inted his face off today on Nautilus, but that's Hillisang for you. And then Photon. Photon has gone from a complete non-factor last split to like 1v9 carrying the game on Rumble on
really?
Sunday, I think.
Okay.
It was versus BDS, actually, when they Vitality beat BDS. He locks Rumble. He has this crazy five-man ult moment. They're like fighting mid lane. It looks like Vitality is just gonna like giga lose the fight. Uh-huh. And then he just like runs in from top lane, five-man ults, and like 1v9s the fight, like gets a double kill and just like completely turns the game around and
okay.
gets super fed and just runs the rest of the game. So Photon has come back in a big way. Hillisang has come back in a big way. And then VTO and Karzy continue to be pretty good. So I think they're going to be a threat. Yeah. And then there's Rogue, who is just a lifeless corpse and mm-hmm. will be last. So
yeah. Oh, I think that's who BDS played today. I think it was Rogue.
Yep. So in that game, Comp started out by having a really good game. Comp was looking, I think he was like 4-0 at the start of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just, Rogue just like, has these ideas and then can never execute on them in any way ever. Like,
yeah.
Even when they start out these games, they just get to a point where it's like they can't make anything happen. Uh-huh. So unless they do something, Rogue is bottom two again.
Yeah. I don't think KC's going to be there. I think it's going to be really interesting. There really is like a top nine this time. So, yeah.
You know, first week, my prediction, I think Giant X and Rogue are going to be bottom two. And then KC is going to be,
I think that's a pretty fair
seventh, eighth, probably.
Yeah,
I think that's it.
I think you're not wrong in that. I think we're seeing a resurgence of Team Heretix, mm-hmm. hopefully. But yeah, it's definitely going to be a different split than Winter. I think we can just start off by saying that. So excited to see how the rest of it turns out.
Except for the part where G2 runs the entire league and wins just by default because they're the best.
Yeah.
Other than
yeah.
that.
yeah. Every other team, we might see some different standings. So.
yeah. So real quick, as a rundown for the LEC, I think G2 is at the top and wins the split. and then I think Fnatic is going to be at the top with them. I think Team Heretix and Vitality are the two teams to watch out for contending with Fnatic. I think BDS is playing worse than they did last split. SK is a big question mark, but I'm on I'm still going to be on the side of them kind of being middle of the pack. And then I think Rogue, KC, and Giant X are going to be at the bottom. And I think Mad Koi is also playing worse than last split, but they can contend for the top.
Mm-hmm.
That's my 10-team breakdown.
Way too early predictions, but...
Way too early predictions.
I think...
And I will be wrong, but...
I think there's some truth in what you're saying, so we'll see how that all pans out.
We'll see.
Yeah.
And that's
oh,
it,
man.
It.
What a grind. But there was a lot to talk about. It was the first time back with the equinox of every single league going on.
Yep.
Thank goodness Eastern leagues weren't as busy. I think LCS is gonna be really exciting. Tune in tomorrow. Check out the LCS Twitch and YouTube and check out 100 Thieves versus C9 because that is gonna be a banger series to start off the LCS playoffs.
It's
right
gonna
there.
Be so good.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for tuning in. Episode 9 in the bag. Follow us on all of our platforms at AllChatLOL. You know the deal. Subscribe on YouTube, follow us on Twitter. We have a Spotify as well, TikTok, YouTube Shorts, Instagram. All of these are at AllChatLOL. Shout out to the guy on Reddit and the guy on Instagram who were talking to us, giving us feedback. Sheen, both of you guys are absolute MVPs in our books. It was so gratifying to hear positive feedback from people in the community, and then just get like really good constructive feedback too. I hope we do right by you guys. We're going to continue to try and improve. It's been a really fun week of doing this podcast, just feeling like we're starting to get some traction, get our feet underneath us. So shout out to those two guys. I wish I had their usernames on hand, but I forgot to grab those, so my bad. Maybe we'll throw it in the description. But shout out to the Reddit guy. Shout out to the Instagram guy. We love you. That's going to be it.
Yeah. As always, all chats by the fans for the fans, and we will see y'all next week.
Peace.
Wow. No flesh Rankton either. Boss, no flesh, guys. Yes. Just kill Rankton. Kill Rankton.
We come after. Oh!
No flesh. Okay.
Let's go.